Thanks, Max. Good morning. Is that the right time up there? Is it really 5 to 12? Okay. Right, 5 minutes then. This will be quick. I'll do a quick intro, because I don't normally do an introduction to myself, but my name is Colin Hewitt. I'm part of the leadership team. Yeah, I'm married to Catherine, who, with our daughter Ruby, is in Ireland at the moment. Everything's okay. She's just having a holiday. And yes, so you probably know who Ruby is anyway if you've been here before. She's the one that likes the big shiny flags up at the back and is really pursuing the flag-waving business at the moment quite intently. Okay, how are you guys doing? Just out of interest, how many people feel like it's this is the end of the week for them, the last day of the week? How many people feel it's the beginning of the week? So, do you know what I mean? How many people feel it's the end of the week? Any first days of the week? Oh, right, okay. So it's interesting because for me this is the end of the week. So I'm still recovering. You guys are just gearing up, so we're kind of in a different zone. I just thought that was really interesting. No relevance, but one of the things that I felt like would be good to talk about this morning, because I'm kind of standing in for Rupert, who has just obviously had a baby. That it'd be good. It was about 6 months ago that as a church we looked at our vision, and we did this vision day where we had everybody, we had different boards all around the church, and we got people to talk about what was happening, what was going on. And it was a really good day, very encouraging to hear some of the stuff that's coming out that we might not have known about. And also just to hear from Rupert and Colin kind of what we're hoping for as we sort of take the next steps. And so I went back and had a listen to some of those talks on they're on the website. And it's interesting because what I felt like I should be talking about this morning was this sense of community church, that we are going on this journey which is off the map, which is kind of a bit of an ambiguous phrase, but it's kind of what Rupert was talking about 6 months ago as well. So I just thought it'd be good to come back to that and look at how we are moving in this uncharted territory as a church, and how it's kind of confusing at times, sometimes being here on a Sunday, and sometimes I'm here and I'm just like, whoa, I feel really disconnected from all the different things that are going on, and half the people I know aren't here for whatever reason, and other half are involved in all these different things, and I thought it's easy to feel like, one of the things about our church is so diverse, which is one of our values, but we need to, it's really good to come back and look at why that is, and I'm part of what we're doing with that. So I'm going to try and just highlight a few things I think are really special about our church, and how my reflections on how we're kind of going off the map, and hopefully that brings a little bit of clarity. One of the things that was mentioned was that we're kind of looking, really, we feel like the Holy Spirit is leading us in this, really looking at what we do from a mission point of view. What is our mission as a church? And the sense of changing our mindset from not the, what was the phrase? Not that the church of God has a mission, but the God of mission has a church. And how that's a really subtle but important change of our thinking we're really looking at the moment. And I just want to read this passage again. It's in Genesis 12, where that the kind of call of Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord told Abraham, 'Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all families of the earth will be blessed through you.'" And, you know, I've heard that so many times, but just coming back to it, I think it's really significant. You know, first of all, I was focusing on this sense of go to a land, leave your country and go to a land that I will show you. And that for us as a church, that is kind of what we're called, you know, the call of this body is to, like, let's go and find new expressions. Let's ask the questions. Let's think about what we're doing. Let's challenge the ways that we've been in the past. And let's look to the new things. But also, something that as I was preparing this really came to me, and something we've been talking about a bit in Echo, is this sense of that we are called to be a blessing, and that is actually, for me, one of the most important things when I think about mission, and it's kind of the biggest change in my thinking as well. Yeah, next page. I think as we develop this sense of, for me, when growing up, I kind of grew up as a Christian. I became a Christian when I was a kid because my parents were Christians, and I went to all the camps and that kind of stuff. And not to diminish that, I actually really felt that God called me when I was younger, really clearly. But I always had this feeling at school of being different. And I always had this feeling that I had to have this agenda of bringing other people to church, or having this conversation, like, after school with them to, like, drop the Christianity bomb on them and, like, hopefully get them to come along or get them to rethink their life and become a Christian. And I guess I kind of took that with me into university as well. And it made university quite a difficult time because I always felt like I couldn't really relate to people because I had this thing, I've got to, you know, like, somehow I've got to get them to come to the CU or got to get them to come to church. And it made the relationship quite tense and unrelaxed. And actually, for me, this is really, really helpful because this calling and understanding our part in this story of that we are called to be a blessing to the world and to our friends, I can really relate to that. That, for me, speaks to me of this, of looking to become who I am fully, and then being able to bless people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, and being able to offer them something of the hope that we have. And that is a very, you know, it's a big shift for me. And I've really appreciated the journey that that we've been going on as a church in exploring that. I think one of the things we've always found really challenging is, are we a church with an agenda of trying to get people to come in the doors? Or, you know, how do we do things without people feeling like we've got an alternative agenda of wanting to get people saved or something? But actually, when we look at it from this sense of blessing, and even just like the stuff that's going on up on the screen, that there's so much we have to offer that's part of God's heart and part of God's purposes and mission in the earth, that actually, if we can really engage in that and not feel weird or embarrassed about that, it's really releasing to us as people to be able to engage in that in a different way. So that sense of being called to be a blessing, I'm gonna come back to that. But I think there's a couple of other things, but I'll just talk on briefly. One of the things I've appreciated of us going off the map as well is this sense of that we're not one voice, but we're many voices. So even this morning, there's been lots of voices you've heard, like, from all these different people about what's going on. And that is not the normal model of church, guys. And that is something that is actually, it's difficult to hold that together and bring some structure on that. But I think we're really wrestling with it and really exploring how can we be one, like, body, but with have many voices coming through. And I've really respected the way that Rupert and Colin and Anne And Dave have all worked through that together with like bringing different pieces, but actually holding us together as a body. And I think we're so much richer for that. And it's really encouraging. This thing of that our vision is the kingdom of God, and that's so diverse and so open that it's really about like everybody finding out who they are and what they're called to do, and then supporting us to do that. And that is really, I think that's really special and really really unique for us. And it's definitely off the map. And the temptation is, it's easy when you're a group of 50 people to do that, but the temptation when you get bigger is to start, you know, putting programs and structures and things in place. And I think we've really held off from doing that. But it's just worth knowing and worth, if you're kind of wondering sometimes, like, where's the church going? It feels a bit disjointed. It's really helpful to understand this is the sort of thing that we're looking to build. It's not clear. It's off the map. Another thing is not one style, but many styles. And since you come into the church, it's kind of obvious. There's so many different types of people here. There's loads of different styles of worship. And again, like, you don't get that in many churches. And I think it's really special that we're trying to cultivate that atmosphere of diversity. And something that I think it's really, we struggle with it because it's much easier if everybody's the same. It's much easier if somebody can stand up here and say, this is what we believe. But actually, it's much harder to hold the different tensions and think, why is that person worshiping like that? Or why is that person singing that song? Or saying what he's saying from the front? And actually, just believing that it's as we come together and wrestle with this that we're so much richer for it. And I just wanted to say that because I think it's really good, and it's really important to understand what we're trying to do. The thing about that for me is that I think it's really amazing that people can come into this body and feel that they can be who they are. That we're not putting pressure on people to be a certain way or behave a certain way. It's kind of like, you know, be who you are, be your individual, the cheeky rascal that you are, you know, bring your personality to the body, and we're richer for that. So I think it's really exciting to be part of a church like that. But there's also challenges with this. And I think one of the challenges is that people, it can feel a bit disconnected, like I said. And it can feel sometimes that people can fall through the cracks because there's not a clear, right, well, welcome to community church. Here's a, you know, sign this form. We'll put you into a cell group. We'll do this. We'll do that. And by the time you're in the next 10 years, you'll have gone through all the programs. You'll be fully integrated into who we are as a body. And I just think that one of the things we've been looking at is how can we then live in such a way to be part of this church and to appreciate the diversity, but also be looking out for people so that we don't become disconnected and disjointed. One of the things that we've been really exploring recently is the concept of belonging. And really, the more I thought about it, it becomes clear that belonging is not something that's going to happen on a Sunday morning. It might not even happen in a cell group. That belonging is kind of the things that happen in the in-between parts in life. You know, like in getting invited out for a meal, or sitting up with friends like later than you should do with a bottle of wine, hanging out and having some honest conversation. Going for a drink after work, or inviting people to play a sport together, or going on holiday together. This, for me, is kind of like where I find that I belong and I have life. So it's really hard to put a structure on that, and it's really hard for us to create that thing of belonging, it's got to be one of our values. And I know that it is for so many people here, which is great. And even, I know that there's people that we even feel that we can just call around to their house unannounced, which is kind of a new thing for us, and it feels like it's new ground. I think, like, for Kath and I, we really felt that for us, what we want our life to be about in Edinburgh, and we've kind of been thinking, like, are we just here because it's where we went to university? But we feel really clearly that we're supposed to be here. And this is like our place of ministry. But rather than it being a thing that we're looking to aspire to from in a position or like a leadership's level, we feel that our ministry needs to be primarily come out of our home. And that feels, again, it's kind of off the map. It's kind of unclear as to how we do that. But we're actually starting to think it's brilliant just to have people over and to have people around for dinner and to have, but even not just having people around for dinner, just having like food that people can, like, you can add people into the pot very easily, rather than this sort of concept of, not literally, Dave, but not that bad. But just this sense of, like, how can we create an open space for people to come into our home and be themselves? Those are the questions that it feels like are the cornerstone for us of what we're doing with church. And so that's kind of a few little things that of our journey. And I wish I had some more stories, but I haven't really had a chance to. Oh yeah, I will tell you this one story. It's kind of random, but I've been thinking about what our longings are, and that's kind of what I want to touch on in a few minutes. So I was going to talk about my history of relationships. One of my first girlfriends, I was telling Malky about this on Friday, was when I was in fourth year or fifth year, I can't quite remember. And this girl was a first year at school. She's quite young, but she was kind of like the captain of the hockey team, and kind of like a sporting legend. So I kind of felt that was all right, head and shoulders above her peers. And we were out for a walk around a lunchtime around the playground one time, as you do. And she stopped and said to me, "Do you want to see how fast I can run?" And I was kind of like, oh my goodness. Maybe there is a bit of a maturity gap here. It was one of those moments in life when you realize that you need to change the direction of where you're going. And so why am I telling you that? I was walking along the Grange road one day. I don't know why, but I think I was coming back from the doctor's in Brunsfield, and I just felt this urge to run, like, kind of like in that way, like, do you want to see how fast I can run? So I just started running, like, you know, this is only like a year ago, and I started running along the road, and it felt like God was saying to me in that, I want to take you on a journey. I want you to run. I don't want you to just like dredge through the normal way of life. And everybody's just like walking along the road. And here's me just running down the road thinking, this feels exciting, you know? I feel like it's doing something. People remember the stories more than anything else you say. So if you remember that story, this sense of like, I just feel that we're in a time as a church where there's going to be new things that we can step into. And one of the things that I just felt this morning was that in this season of life that we're in, that it's actually quite a difficult time for a lot of people at the moment. And even like a few weeks ago, we were in a difficult time because I run a business, and sometimes you get to these points where you're like, flip, we really need some cash to come in pretty soon, or it's going to make life really hard. And I went out for a walk just to think about that and think what the options were and to pray. And just realizing that there's a lot of people at the moment facing these difficult decisions in life where their finances are being squeezed, where they maybe lost their job. And I kind of felt like, what's going on, God? This is really like unprecedented times. And what are we supposed to be doing in them? And I just felt God was saying, listen. You know, listen to me in these times. There's something that I'm doing, or I want to be heard from in this time that's difficult, but it's actually like a time of discipline for some people. And I just want to read this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, because I think there's something when we're in this time of, I believe that God wants to tap into our longings at the moment, and that if you're going through a difficult time, and even if you're not, I really feel that that God was saying, I want to tap into people's longings and desires today. That it's really, you know, it's really important to look back and look at our lives. And sometimes in the times of plenty, whenever everything's going well and we've got very certain, we can just drift along in the busyness of life. And actually in the difficult times, we come back and think, right, what's important right now? And where are we coming from? So let me just read this passage. It's called A Call to Remember and Obey. And it's the Israelites in Deuteronomy when they're actually like looking back and thinking, how are we going to go forward? They haven't gone into the land of Israel yet. They're kind of like, they've just come out of Egypt, and they're looking back. It says, be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply. You will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character, and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry, then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. So you should realize that just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you to help you. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with springs that gush forth in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olives, and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and laws. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, that is the time to be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did it so you would never think it was your own strength and energy that made you wealthy. And remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich, and he does it to fulfill the covenant he made with your ancestors. So when I was reading that, there's so much in that. But I just felt like we're not longing for a land at the moment. That's not our longing. I'm not waking up thinking, when can I move into a land with milk and honey? I just go to the fridge. And, you know, that's not my longing. We're not in that place that people were in at that time. All I wanted was this land to be. They've been wandering as a people for so long, and they had this desire and this longing. And in that, in the promise of what they had, they were being warned to not forget where they'd been. And I just feel like for us, what I see the longing for today with people is like, we're longing for security. That's our land, you know, like the security where there's money in the bank. We've got job security. That's kind of what the world is longing for. But that's not what we're called to. You know, we're not called into that place of security. We're called into that place of going to a land that we're not being shown. Even though it's a good land, it's not about the security. I think that's the difference for us, that the world is like longing for the security. And to be honest, we're longing for it as well. But we're called to live in this journey and this adventure that's different. And the other thing was, as I was reading that, I thought one of the things that the world, we see when we look at the world is really incredible loneliness. A lot of loneliness. And I'm sure you know people who are lonely. And, you know, we've been talking about this as well. Just this, how can we be a blessing to the lonely in this time of life? When we're, you know, for these guys, loneliness might not have been such a big deal. They lived in communities very closely. They knew people. But for us, we've become very isolated and insular, and it's just our natural paths. But we feel that really like, what are we going to do to combat some of the loneliness that we see? As married couples, you know, in a way, we're okay because we've got each other, but there's a lot of single people who we know that are just like terrified of being alone. In like into their 40s and stuff that are our age at the moment, and we're asking the question: could we live our lives differently? Could we like open up our home so that people could come and live with us, and we could start to meet the need of some of the lonely people out there? And wouldn't it be amazing if that became like one of the values of our church, that we're just like a place where people can find real friendships and relationships? So, yeah, we're going to take bread and wine in a minute, and I just felt like it'd be really good to focus on some of these longings that maybe we're in at the moment, or maybe people that you know are in, and really, like, just take this opportunity to look back and remember where we've come from. To remember that we're all coming out of a place of God who saved us and he's given us everything. And, yeah. Is that okay? So, I'm going to pray. And then maybe we could come and the bread could be given out, and maybe you could just gather with a few people that you are friends with, or join in with a group. But just find a couple of people and let's gather and pray, and let's pray for a couple of things in this time of change that we're living in, that we're actually remembering what God has done, and we're thankful for everything that he's given us, and we're confident that he's going to provide for us into the future as well. But we're really also wanting to be a blessing as a people to those around us, and we're looking to be a blessing into the longings of our friends. Yeah, maybe the band want to come up as well. But I'm just going to pray. Can we stand, guys? Lord, I want to thank you so much for this church, God. I thank you so much for everything that you have called us to be, God, and the journey that you have, Lord. You're taking us off the map, Lord, and that is scary and exciting. And Lord, I thank you for all the individuals that make up this body. Lord, would you bless us to be a blessing? Would you show us how to be fully ourselves, Lord, to be fully present in our lives and in the scenarios we find ourselves in, to bless those, God, that are in need at the moment in this time. Lord, we think of those people who have lost jobs, who are struggling with debt, Lord. Would you help us to find ways to bless God, to bring encouragement? And Lord, would you give us fresh insight into our own desires and longings at this time, Lord? May we not forget you, God, that you have brought us this far and all the things you've done with us. Lord, we long for you in our own lives, God. We long for you more than the security of a job and an income, Lord. We long for you to lead us in the, you know, your river of life, God. So, God, just come and work in our hearts this morning. We desire you, God. Deepen our desires, God. We don't want to forget you, God. We want to bless. Amen.